from God's Word. We're studying all the parables in the Bible. And this is message number 112. We're in the 19th chapter, the Gospel according to Matthew. And we're going to start with verse number 16. And we're on page 219 in Herbert Lockyer's All the Parables in the Bible. And behold, there came up a man to him, saying, Didaskale, Didaskale, teacher, what excellent and perfectly and essentially good deed must I do to possess eternal life? Wow, ungodly is that statement. Heaven is not purchased. Heaven is not purchased, is it? Mm-hmm. Heaven is not purchased by man. Not what you can do. You out and go out and talk to people, and they'll talk to you and say, well, I don't think I'm going to go to hell because I'm better than that guy over there, and I'm not this bad or anything else. And then people come to church, and they want to come to church, and they want to buy their way to heaven. Mm-hmm. You can't serve your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. Heaven has already been, there's only one key. There's only one price, and that has been paid already. Now let's see what Jesus says to this wonderful man that held back something, wasn't willing to give the price. And he said to him, why do you ask me about the perfect and essentially good deed? Only one there is who is good. Perfectly and essentially, and that is God. If you would enter into life, you must continually keep the commandments. If you want to stay alive in the nation of Israel, you have to keep the commandments. You have to keep the commandments. You shall not keep on murdering. You shall not keep on stealing. You shall not keep on committing adultery. That's what it says in Hebrew, by the way. Shall not lie, shall not steal. That's what it says in English. But in Hebrew it says, you shall not keep on doing these things. And he said, keep the commandments, and you might stay alive. You will stay alive keeping commandments. If you willingly and viciously broke those commandments, you could be stoned. And he said to him, what sort of commandments? Or which ones? And Jesus answered, you shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. Now, these people, we have just talked about divorce just before this, and they married another woman so they wouldn't be committing adultery. But they didn't want to support the older woman. The other wife, so they divorced her. And already, he has put down their lifestyle, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. In the last class that we taught, the last message. Which ones? You shall not keep on killing. You shall not keep on committing adultery. You shall not keep on stealing. You shall not keep on bearing false witness. Exodus 20, 12 through 16, and Deuteronomy 5, 16 through 20. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. And the young man said, oh, I've done all of these things from being a little child. What still do I lack? Something's wrong. I remember many of Billy Graham's messages. He would preach to people. He said, why are you here? Why did you come? Why did you come here? Maybe he said, you just came here to hear me preach. Maybe you're a child of God. But if you're not a child of God, why are you here? What do you lack in your life? You know something is lacking. You don't have peace in your life. Marilyn was very abused as she grew up for many years. And one thing she had in her possession was a little Bible. And she'd read that little Bible. That's what kept her going through all the torture and the persecution and the beatings and the abuse that she had from her parents. She stood on that Bible, and she was praying not too long before she met me, and she didn't know what she was doing, I don't think. She was laying in her bed at nighttime. She was getting older. Everybody's dead now. They don't need handmaidens anymore. She's all alone, and she goes and visits her graveyard all the time. And her life is a graveyard. Her twin sister's dead. Her mother and her father are dead. And she goes and visits the graveyard a lot. She was laying on her bed praying, "Lord, I'm about to the end of my rope. Please send somebody in my life. I want a cowboy. I like Indians. And I want to learn a lot about the Bible." And the first Indian cowboy that she met, she latched on to. And that's me. She wanted to have children. She didn't no longer have children. She wanted to have children. She wanted to get married. She wanted to have a boyfriend. Never had a chance, did she? Well, I had a little girl, and I was raising that little girl alone because her mother was so mentally ill and so dangerous that, see, I couldn't stay with her. It was life and death. And it was life and death for my child. My child wanted a mother so bad. And Dakota came up to me and she said, "Daddy, can I call Marilyn Mama?" And Marilyn wanted to be engaged. And we started going to church together. I was already going to church. She started going to my classes. And I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And she went there. And boy, did she get off more cheek, chew, swallow, and digest. But she did that. "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "I've done all of these things since I was a little boy." And the angel answered him, "If you want to be totally perfect, that is to have the spiritual maturity which accompanies self-sacrificing character, you go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you will have riches in heaven, and come and be my disciple and side with my party and my church and follow me." Follow me instead of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Herodians, the Sicarians. You do that, you follow me. Because if this man would have done that, he would have had a change of his heart. What was wrong with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Levites, the priest, the Sicarii, the Herodians, the Hellenistic Jews? What was wrong with them? They were worldlings. Worldlings. They thought that God was blessing them because they had plenty. They were about to become paupers because paupers were only paupers because God did not like them. They had done some terrible deed. And he wasn't going to look like a pauper. But when the young man heard this, he went away grieved and sad in much terrible distress. For he had great possession. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is very difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven." They won't give it up. What are you going to give for eternal life? What can you give for eternal life? Nothing in this world. But when Jesus owns you, he owns your pocketbook. He owns your heart. He owns your desires. He owns your very purpose in life. And again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a surgical needle. Now, in the cities, Now, all the farmers, they did not live out in the country. Farmers lived in the city, and they would take their animals, and they would go to the farm, and they'd farm. But they went inside the cities for protection, because raiders and sicarii, different people would come that were terrible. And they would rob them out there if they had a house on their farm. So they go into the walled cities so they could be protected from outlaws, marauders, and other entities coming in to take over the land. And they would go in, and they had a big gate where they walked through, but at nighttime, only the small gate, which was called the Needle's Eye, to go in because they couldn't get their war machines and their camels and their horses to fight with. You had to go down, and you had to lean down and get into this narrow way. That is not what it's talking about here. Luke makes it very plain that this is talking about a surgical needle. Now, this is an impossible. This is a hyperbole. It's a figure of speech. It's a parabolic teaching. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a surgical needle. How hard is it for a camel to go through the eye of a surgical needle? It's not the needle's eye that they have to get down and crawl on their knees through and get under it. They couldn't even have done that. It's impossible. This is an impossibility. This is what you call a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. A camel cannot go through the eye of a needle. The eye of this surgical needle, they took like horsehair. And they would run it through this needle and they would sew up wounds with hair, and then the hair would dissolve. A surgical needle. A camel can't go through the eye of a surgical needle. It's not possible at all. It's an impossibility. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a surgical needle than a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. And when his disciples, when his habitual learners, when his church members heard this, they were utterly puzzled, astonished, and struck out of their senses and bewildered, saying, "Who then can be saved from eternal death?" This guy that came up to you, Jesus, was really a nice guy, and you know, he was really righteous on the outside. You know, the Jews had a very, 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 they would pray this way. O Lord, God of the universe, thank you that I wasn't made a Gentile. Thank you that I wasn't made a woman. Thank you that I was born a descendant of Abraham. Under the wonderful auspices of that wonderful blessing and covenant that you made with your people. Thank you that I was born into that. And Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Only God can get you to heaven. You're not going to work your way into heaven. You're not going to preach your way into heaven as a Jehovah's Witness. You know, they got to go out every Saturday. That's part of their initiation to get into the kingdom, that is. They're going to go into the millennium. Only 144,000 of them supposedly got to go to heaven. They're all dead and in heaven, supposedly. But I got news for them. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son and died for your sins and was buried and rose again, you're not going to get to go to heaven, and not one of them believe that. Genesis 18:14, Job 42:2. Then Peter asked Jesus, saying, "Hey, Lord, we have left all that we have and become your disciples and sided with your party and followed you, and what then shall we receive? We're part of your church. What are we going to get? We don't have anything left. What are we going to get?" And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, in the new age, the messianic rebirth of the world, the messianic kingdom, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, you will have become my disciples, sided with me and my church, and followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel." Why didn't Israel accept the Christ? They were liable to that day. They were liable to see that he was coming. They had the Old Testament scriptures. Elo Eloi lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22 and verse 1, and then read all of it. And Isaiah 53, he was despised, forsaken of men. All of our griefs were upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Set on the 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And anyone and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake. And I'm going to tell you something, people. There are many people that were slaughtered and murdered because of Jesus in the world. And they're still being slaughtered and murdered because of Jesus in the world today. Most of the perpetrators of this is Islam. Islam kills people. They kill Christians. They kill Christians. My students have gone into these Islamic lands, and some of them have been murdered. Every day, somebody is killed someplace in the world because they're a Christian in an Islamic country. Any Islamic person that wants to repent of following Islam and follow Jesus is death sentence over sin. He will be killed. That's an honor killing. Honor murder. Many lands for Naim's sake will receive many, even 100 times more, and inherit eternal life. Those Jews that had become Christians had to leave their lands and their homes. Those people in Turkey, Armenia, that were called Paulicians had to leave, and they went all the way up into the Alps, in the valleys of the Piedmont. And they were there for hundreds of years. They carried with them some of the original autographs of the scriptures. And Catholicism came in there. They were chased out by Islam, and then the Catholicism murdered them in the late 1500s. There is a book called The Ecclesiastical Churches of the Valleys of the History of the Ecclesiastical Churches in the Valleys of Piedmont by Samuel Morland. You can read every name of the persons that lived there and what torturous death they lived. How they died, that is. How they died. How their lives were snuffed out. How they were burnt. And the women were cannibalized, raped, and cooked and eaten. Yeah. Those people are very wealthy in the kingdom of God today because they gave it all. Because they had eternal life, not to get it. Because they had eternal life, not to get it. Because they had eternal life. But many that now are first will be last. This scripture has just haunted my life. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And many who now are last will be first then. Father, we send this message out to you, your people. We send it out to all souls. I pray that build people up that are saved in your word. I pray that if there's one lost out there, that they will hear this message and want to follow you. Because it was with no cost that we have eternal life. But then we follow you with all our lives. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ that gave his life for us, that has the only key, the only authority to get us into heaven, the only authority by which you will even hear our prayers. Father, forgive us where we failed you. Help us to honor you with our lives and our deaths. In Jesus' name.